Pope Francis recently declared next Sunday as the Sunday of the Word of God, urging all Catholics to open themselves up to the Word as proclaimed through Scripture. So it is fitting that we should examine today's Gospel from that perspective. Now, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke include many of the same stories, often in a similar sequence and in a similar or sometimes identical wording. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as synoptic because these three Gospels take the form of a synopsis of Jesus' life, his message revealed as a function of his actions and teaching during his ministry on earth. They tend to largely focus on Jesus as human and as God and his relationship with the faithful. These three evangelists relate Jesus' actions and words and leave it to us to ponder the deeper meaning of God's message and how to apply it to our lives and establish our relationships with the Father. The writings of these three evangelists stand in contrast to John, the author of today's gospel, whose content is largely distinct. John rarely tells the same stories as the other evangelists. In John's use of stories, what happens is almost secondary to the spiritual meaning and message contained within them. He is unafraid to explain the mysteries of Christianity and bold in his revelation. He understands that these mysteries are ones which we humans will never solve and will never even fully appreciate. In spite of this, John attempts to explain them to the faithful to the extent that we humans might understand. John's gospel is centered on God. It's a glimpse of God's inner life, described often in profound, but by necessity inadequate human words. Today's gospel is the second day of what are termed John's days of revelation. His purpose in writing this gospel is summed up in the final words, "And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." In this, John discloses to his audience what is common knowledge to us today as Catholics, that Jesus was the Messiah, and that he was at once both man and our God. At last, the promise made to Abraham, when God commanded him to leave his home, his country, and his kin, was fulfilled. The Messiah, who would bring blessings to all the world, both Gentile and Jew, for all time, both then and now, had arrived. 1,800 years of expectation and faithful waiting had been fulfilled. In this short passage, John the Baptist introduces the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, his Son, and the dove of the Holy Spirit. But how difficult it must have been for the monotheistic Jews of the time to accept what the Baptist was saying. This is not what they were expecting. The thought that three persons could exist in God, and in that the infinite God could be a limited finite human being, was very hard to accept. And such a simple man, rather than the absolute fulfillment of their expectations, the coming of the Messiah brought people more divine mysteries and more challenges for God's people to accept. This emphasizes for them and for us the tremendous gulf that Jesus fulfills between his human and his divine natures, and how we must be careful not to think of God in human terms. Today's gospel is less difficult for us to hear and believe than the experience was for the ancient Jews to accept. We have no reason for such doubts or scruples. We have before us the full story of Christ's conception, birth, life, preachings, and miracles. We know he was crowned by his death on the cross and glorious resurrection. This in itself is proof that he was and is the Son of God made man for our sakes. Indeed, the spread of his church among Jews and Gentiles against such doubts and questions is in itself proof of Christ's truth. With the perspective of history, we can accept the reality of the Trinity more readily than the disciples who heard and saw John the Baptist and his testimony, or even those early Christians who read John the Evangelist's words, and yet they believed. We are fortunate in this time that most of us have been brought up since birth to believe in the Trinity and the divine and human nature of Jesus. The sad thing is that we have every reason in this world and the next to believe in Christ and follow his teachings, and yet so many nominal Christians live as if Christ himself had never lived or died for them. We have a single vocation in life against which our ordinary daily concerns pale. Accepting the divinity of Christ and the truth of the Trinity, our goal must be to live our lives in the way of Christ and thus gain eternal life. John's Gospel introduces us to the mysteries of Jesus's divine humanity, in which God humbled himself to experience all that we do as humans aside from sin. He knew hunger, he knew cold, he knew rejection by those he cared for, he knew pain, he knew frustration, he knew temptation. In return, as fully human, he showed us how to resist evil and return love. We can rest assured in God's justice and mercy because of his experience in our human condition. It is by Christ's humanity that we can know that living in his ways is not too hard for us to accomplish. Fully human, Christ did. Understanding this, we can draw strength in our ability to emulate Christ's life by remembering that he walked in our shoes.